evening, everyone, and welcome to Passionately Speaking. This is our weekly public speaking training call where we learn all kinds of different things about public speaking and how we can use it to get our message out to the world, to make more money, and make a bigger impact. I'm RV Robinson, the Master Speaker Trainer, International Speaker, and Author, and I welcome you today. We have another good one for you. And because it is close to Valentine's Day, we're going to talk about love today. We're going to have our love talk. And too bad our love expert isn't here, Renee Gordon, who's actually got a couple of books on finding your soulmate. But we're going to look for our soulmate in our audience today. And this is all about how to love on your audience, how to make them feel great. Because if your audience doesn't feel good about you as the speaker, then they're not going to listen, and they're going to check out and even leave. So it's really important for you to think about them the entire time you're speaking. Because sometimes when we first begin, we think about what? About ourselves, right? About our message. Are we going to mess up? And what are we going to do with our hands? And what do we... All this stuff is going through our mind as new beginning speakers that we forget, or we could forget, about our audience. So this is all about how to stay in tune and keep loving on them so that they keep loving us. And I always share with people, stay in front of your audience as long as possible. Stay in front of them as long as possible. If you get 20 minutes, ask for 30. If you get 10, ask for 15. Because the longer you're in front of your audience, the more you can love on them, and the more they will fall in love with you. So that's number one. Length of time. Always ask for more time so that you can be with them. Just think about it when you're on a date, your husband or your wife, and think about that first date. Was it a long date or a short date? It probably was pretty long. You know, it was dinner, and then there was talking afterwards, and you went somewhere and, you know, talked all night long or something like that, or that first phone call. It's because you're discovering each other. You're falling in love. You're spending time together. And that's what you want to do with your audience. You want to spend time together. Now, some techniques of loving on your audience, there's many, many ways to do that. One way is, of course, always remember the niceties that you do. Always remember to say please and say thank you, especially thank you. So if an audience member raises their hand, asks a question, comes up on stage and participates, or whatever they do or make any comment, even if they're saying it's cold in the room, always say thank you. Always say thank you. Because the power of these words impact not only that one audience member, but it impacts everyone. Everyone. It's as if you're saying thank you to your entire audience. Remember, when you have an audience, they are one being. They're all connected. There's not, you know, anybody disconnected. So when you're speaking to one, remember you're really speaking to everybody because everybody feels it. Now, I know that you have been in audiences where the speaker maybe was a little upset at a disgruntled audience member. How did you feel? You probably didn't feel very good unless that it was a heckler and he or she got rid of the heckler, and then you probably applauded. But most of the time, that's an extreme. Most of the time, you know, people might ask a question or somebody might do something, and you know, oftentimes we can see if the speaker is getting upset or impatient. Any clue that they're getting impatient, we feel it. So that's why it's really important to always show love to your audience members, even the ones that are harder to love on. All right? But there's ways that you can do it and still save face and still save your audience. So, again, when you have somebody that continues to ask questions, right, and you still have, your message and you still have the rest of the audience, then you want to diffuse that individual's, you know, whatever they're doing, all right? So you can do it nicely. You don't have to be, you know, show them that you're upset or impatient, but you could do it nicely and say, you know, I really need to get through this material, so would it be okay if you and I just spoke afterwards and we could get a more deeper conversation than we've got time for today? Would that be okay with you? And you're actually asking them permission. And most of the time, they will always say yes. All they wanted was attention, and you're giving it to them in a loving manner. All right? So, again, love on them. Okay, so that's the nicety. Say please, thank you. And the next one is all about another technique, which is using people's names in the audience. Make sure that you, if they're not using name tags, now I like to use name tags if all possible, and I always recommend that if they come into my room to type their first name really big so I can see it from the stage, because I want to call people by name. Call them by their names, because there's nothing sweeter than hearing their own name. And I know this isn't new to you, but here's the technique that I want you to come away with. Always, because we're not always going to have name tags to do that, and most networking events don't have name tags. So what you want to do is just meet a handful of people, 5, 6, 7 people, and get their names down. Make a face with a name. Get their names down and call them and use their names. Because when you do, the whole entire audience is going to feel like, because they're all one unit, right? They're all connected. They're going to feel like you use their name. Now, years ago, when I first started speaking and I was in corporate America, and I've had my business 15 years, so it was even prior to that, maybe even 25 years ago, I did this at a small group. I think it was one of the, Lions, Kiwanis, one of those service club, Rotary or something, and a small group, and I didn't mean to do it. I didn't even know what I was doing, right? I didn't know the power or the effectiveness of it. But there's 2 or 3 people, you know, that I remembered their names. And so during my speech, I called them out by name and said, you know, okay, Sam, or Sam, what do you think of this? Or, you know, Jimmy, what do you, you know, whatever I did, I don't even remember, it was so long ago. But after the meeting, people came up to me and said that they were so impressed that I remembered everybody's name. I didn't remember everybody's name, but that's what they heard. I only remembered 2 or 3 or 4. Isn't that amazing? That's the power that I want you to take away from this. 2 or 3 is all you have to do. You don't have to stress out and try to remember a bunch of people. Even if those people in that room might be your friends and you already know them, that's great. Use them. And if you don't, then go around. That's why we always talk about, as speakers, we get there early, really early, like 30 minutes ahead of time. Now you can greet people as they come in the room. And you can learn their name, repeat it 2 or 3 times or whatever memory technique you have, and then commit it to memory. And that's one way you could do it. Another way is right before you're speaking, you can, usually we're eating or something, you can get every name of the person at your table. That's easy to do. Right? So either greet people when they come in the door, get 3 or 4 names that you like, or, you know, make sure you get them from the table that you're going to be at. And use them often. Use them often. And it's okay if you say the same name 2 or 3 times. Again, remember, the audience will feel like you've called their personal name. It's really, really powerful. So absolutely use that technique. Okay, the next one. Okay, so we've got names. We've got niceties. We've got diffusing if we need to, but also we want to show your audience that love and respect by what? By listening to them. So if someone has their hand up and they have a question, as long as you're not in your clothes, right? I don't want you to ever answer any questions once you start your clothes, because it'll disrupt the flow of the clothes and you'll lose money. but you will just ignore them, right? Just don't even look their way, because I've done it, made that mistake, and it's cost me big time. And remember, if something is costing you money, what is the ultimate cost? You're causing that person that wanted to get better, you know, whether it's be a better speaker, be a better person, get help. Finally, they got the courage to get that help, and then what? They didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's bigger. You know, when I say losing money, and then they lost out as well. So you don't want to go there. Just don't even look at them. Just keep in your clothes, keep in your flow, because that'll be the person that'll come up to you anyway at the end when you're in the back of the room or you're at your sales table or whatever your next step is. So don't worry. You won't lose them because you didn't answer that question. They'll still have it, and they'll come to you and be ready for them. All right? So if we don't want to be interrupted, when can we? During your whole entire speech. Someone raises their hand. Then stop and ask them. You're going to be so confident with your presentation that it's not going to mess you up. You're going to be the presentation. It's not going to be some written thing that's going to throw you off, or a written thing that you're reading and you don't see the hand raise. That's not the kind of speaker you're going to be anyway. We've seen that. We've seen other speakers that way, but you're not going to be that way. Not when you're trained by me. Okay, so you can ask them. And love on them by saying, you know, asking them what their question is, telling them afterwards, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I'm glad you asked it. See, we've all heard people say, oh, yeah, that's a good question. And they're saying it like a robot. They don't mean it. I'm talking about meaning it. That's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. Plus, it'll give you time in your head to formulate an answer if one's not popping in immediately. Then you answer the question, and then again, you thank them, you know, for asking it. So that's how you treat them. That's how you love on them. I don't know about you, but I hate when people have questions and the speaker says, wait and hold all your questions to the end. You might as well slap your audience in the face, just wham, right over the face. You know, you're not important enough. My speech is, you know, more important, or what I've got to say is more important. I don't care about your – don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. That's not a good speaker. That's not loving on your audience. That's loving on yourself and not wanting to be inconvenienced. So don't do that. Just be open. Practice your speech so much. And how long do I tell you to practice? Deidre, what's the answer?
1 hour for every 2 minutes.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. And when you do that, you won't have to worry about forgetting something. You won't have to worry about notes. You won't have to worry about writing it all out. It'll just be. So nothing will interrupt you. Nothing will get you off track. And if it does, and it's done to me, because sometimes, especially during my professional story, I bring other stuff in, especially if I'm in my own room, and I can actually lose my place. And some of you on this call have seen this in action. And what do I do when I lose my place? Who can tell me? Okay, I'll give you a hint. So what I do is ask the audience. Now, where was I in my story? See, I don't freak out. I don't, you know, do deer in the headlights. I just fess up. Hey, I got lost. Who can tell me where I was in my story? Then they tell me. Some tell me the right place and some don't. And I know it when I hear it. But I truly, truly lost my place. And then I'll just say, thank you. I was just wanting to make sure that you were paying attention. And everybody laughs, right?
Yeah.
And it works. And you can do it too. Just don't freak out. Where was I now? Who can tell me what I was talking about? Even if it's not your story and it's bullet point. Okay, who can tell me what I was talking about? All right, great. I just wanted to make sure you were paying attention. Thank you. And then you move on as gracefully and confidently. And they don't know what happened. You're in control. Remember what I say, never let them see you sweat, ever. Never let them see you sweat. All right. So, again, don't hold questions to the end. Always allow the questions to happen. Now, where those questions need to be, of course, you don't answer them in the beginning, but you don't say that. And you're not going to have them because mostly the beginning is primarily your professional story. It's in the meat. It's in the middle of the sandwich that you can take questions anytime. And again, if one person is dominating too many questions and taking up too much of your time, and every once in a while you'll get those kind of individuals, you just kindly talk them into, let's take this outside kind of thing. Let's talk a little bit about, let's go deeper after the presentation. And just be nice and sweet and ask them if that's okay and then say thank you, and they will usually be quiet and, again, come up to you at the end of the presentation. And that's exactly what you want to do, all right? The last way that you can really love on your audience that people kind of forget, and that's really give that value. When you're speaking, it is not an infomercial. It's not the, RV show, It's really giving them content that they can use, content that is going to enrich their lives. And if it's a topic that's more inspirational, then it's keeping the dream alive. You see, as speakers, we sell hope. Hope is what we sell first, hope for a better life, hope for more money, hope for a bigger business, a more successful business. It's hope. We're in the hope business, the hope selling business. And we do that by sharing the benefits and the value of whatever they'll get from it is what they are going to ultimately buy and want. So think about it that way. We're really selling hope. We're keeping their dreams alive. We're keeping their hope alive. So make sure that, that you think about that when you step out on that stage and that you just give them that kind of value. That's how you can love on them. Give them, give them a glass that's full instead of a glass that's empty. And I say some of my speaker colleagues, it's like they're blowing smoke. They use smoke and mirrors, and you look down at your notes and you got nothing. I want your audiences to look at their notes and go, wow, that's a lot of information. Now, you can give the value, sell the hope, and give benefits without giving away the store. And what I always recommend is you give all the W's and only one how. So what I'm talking about, the W's, the what, the why they should do the what, and where they should do it. But you don't teach them how because they have to come to you for a how. But you could give them one how, right? But otherwise give them the what, why, when, where, but only one how. And that's giving them value without you feeling like they don't need, or them feeling like, oh, I don't need to buy your program. Right, CJ? I know how to build my own website now. So you're not going to, give them all the house, just the why they need to have a great website, why all the elements that would make it a good website, the benefits of doing that, meaning more business, getting number one on Google or whatever it may be. But
you got it.
You're not going to tell them the how. All right, so those are, I think five ways to, just really show your audience the love. And always remember, it's about the audience. It's about the message, and it's really about you changing their life. They've already changed yours by you stepping out there on stage. Now it's time to change them just a little bit. Bring some awareness, make the 30 minutes with you enjoyable, build curiosity in them, show them that there's something that maybe is missing in their life, share new trends with them. And always give your best stuff. Always give your best content, not the stuff that everybody else gives or your competition. That's why even when I share something that's kind of common knowledge, always go deeper with it in terms of what it really means or how you can take it to the next step or the next level. And that's what you want to do. In other words, enrich your body of content. Think of ways of drilling down, going deeper, or leveling up if you want to, you know, use some new term, level up. I don't even know what that means, but, you know, I see it on cars now, level up, or some, you know, a while back we had 10X, you know. Whatever it is for you, go the distance, go that next step, and really push to give your audiences something new, or maybe it's something old, but it's packaged in a new way that maybe audiences have not heard it before, and it's got your own spin on it. Because remember, only you can give them that message, and only you, and they can only hear it from you. Remember my motto, you've got a message to share that only you can share to people that can only hear it from you. So go, you know, go deeper, think about, you know, what makes it different, what makes you different, and then don't be afraid to add that spin on it. And your audiences will love you for it. All right? Okay, so we're going to open up the call for any questions. But what I'd also like is if there is another way that you know of that you can love on your audience, or maybe another way, because there's, you know, there's other things that you could do, like audience participation is another good way to love on your audience. But there's many other ways. So I want to hear from you. What are some ways that you've either used yourself, saw a speaker use, or even learned from me in the past, and share that. And I hope you're all taking copious notes, because, you know, I want you to review them before you speak the next time, because sometimes we get so wrapped up in our message, we forget the love on our audience. We forget to tell our audience that we love them in other ways than saying those words, right? Saying those words might not sound real, but we can show them. We can show them in everything that we say and do. All right, so we're going to open up the call. Before I do, though, I just want to check in and see if anybody's joined us after the call got started. Did anybody join us that has not given their name?
Hi, Arby.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who is it?
Leanne.
Leanne. Hey, Leanne. Welcome.
Hello.
And who was the other person that tried to say hi?
Jean from Iowa.
Jean, it's been a while.
Yes.
I tried to call you the other day, I think Friday. I FaceTimed you. Yeah,
oh.
I FaceTimed you.
Oh, I missed it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was traveling.
Oh, well, how's Grayson?
Hudson.
Hudson. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry. I have a great nephew called Grayson.
I like that name, too. He's doing really, really well. Just super.
Okay, so Gene's grandson has gone through multiple brain surgeries. So keep him in your prayers. His name is Hudson. And he just had another one, right, a month or so ago?
Yeah. Actually, it was his third one. Yeah, they didn't have any cancer to remove, which was great. They had to reroute some of the fluid that was kind of building up, and they did that. And they're just kind of keeping an eye on the suspicious cells, but so far they didn't progress into cancer, so we are just grateful.
And share how young your grandson is.
He's 4.
4 years old,
yeah.
Going through this kind of surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we need all of your prayers. 10X. We need 10X prayers for Hudson.
Yeah.
Wow.
And,
wow.
You know, the cool thing is he's such an inspiration for resilience because, you know, at that age he doesn't really understand what's going on. He just knows he goes to Boston and gets a bandage, you know.
Oh.
And but the thing that he's excited about now is that in April he's going to become a big brother. So.
Oh, that's great news.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Good news. Okay, well, welcome, Gene. All right, anybody else join us? Okay. Well, we're going to start with Jean Reese, actually. So, Jean, we're going to start with you. So give us some ideas, if you have any, about how you could – other ways to love on an audience. Jean Reese, are you still there? If you are, you're muted. You can unmute yourself with star six. Okay, well, maybe she had to go. We'll come back. Okay, we'll go to Irene.
Oh, nice. I'm like, caught me off. You totally caught me off guard. Yeah, can you come back to me, Arby?
I would be happy to.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some things. And
I would like to say something. This is the other Jean.
There you go, Jean. Where were you?
Right. Well, it was right here all the time. I'm going to pop in and pop out. I won't be long because I'm always somewhere.
Yes, you are.
But I found from looking at others, and sometimes maybe they don't even notice it, but a smile. Really shows love. It connects the audience. Even those that didn't want to smile, if you smile, they give you a smile back. And nodding your head. Those two really stick out with me. And I guess from teaching as well, when I'm in a situation where, you know, I know my subject matter, of course, but at the same time, when a person is connected with you, they understand and they're shaking their head with you and smiling back, it really shows love as well and concern. So,
nice.
I wanted to add.
I like that. Smiles are important. And where are you at right now?
At Foha in Fontana.
Is that a
the
restaurant? Got it. It's
yes.
Okay, Jean, thank you.
You know what, Arby?
Yes.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking about when to go with her, the smile. I think really sincere eye contact is makes
mm-hmm.
people feel special, and you know, and that you're really in engaged with them and looking, you know, you're there for them, basically.
You're present.
Yes.
Yes, it makes a difference, and you can really tell when someone really looks. And what I teach in my four-day is the four C's, right? Contact, connect, communicate, continue. And for about that length of time, that's how the length of time you want to look at each person. So about 3 to 4 seconds. Anything longer than that, they'll feel uncomfortable. It'll be the opposite effect.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be like you're staring, and they'll turn away, and I'll tell you what, they'll never look your way again. Excellent. Irene, that was a good one. Good one. And Irene, am I going to see you tomorrow at the networking lunch?
Yes. Unless something pops up, like a client or something, I will be there.
Perfect. Beautiful. See you then. All right, and Deirdre's going to be there. I know that. All right, Deirdre, you're up.
Yes, I am going to be there. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is another way to put it, but just be authentic and don't try to be, I think, maybe too erudite or anything like that. Just be yourself and conversational. That way they can see the real you. And
mm-hmm.
So that may be another way of putting what we've already been saying, but that's what I thought of.
Yeah, I like that. Be authentic. Yeah, be you, be present. That's why it's so important. If you really love your audience, you will prepare. You'll prepare. You'll rehearse that 15 hours for that 30-minute speech. If you think about it, think about that. If you really love your audience or want them to love you back, you prepare. You prepare. You take care of yourself. The night before, make sure you get yourself plenty of sleep. You prepare the presentation just for them. You tweak it using their language. If you're talking to real estate professionals like Irene, you want to tweak it. Talk about listings and clients instead of customers and products. So you want to tweak it a little bit. That really shows love. I've seen a couple times, I've seen a guy, I was at somewhere and a guy came in. I've seen this a couple times. And he came in and said, well, this is usually an hour speech, but I only have 30 minutes, so I'm going to talk real fast. And that shows a lack of love and a lack of respect for your audience. You know, number one, he should have tweaked it and pared it down to 30 minutes. And if he would have pared it down, practiced, and thought of who he was talking to, it would have been a much different speech, and he probably would have gotten a lot more business. But to come out and say that, that's just like, again, another slap in the face to your audience. So we never want to do that. You always want to, if you have an hour speech, then pare it down to 30 minutes if you need to. Pare it down to 5 minutes, but never tell your audience that it's a 30-minute speech and you're going to do it in 10. I mean, no. You know, always redo your speech. You still have your signature talk, your basic, right? But so like Jean and I have been working on her speech, and she's got uses the word shield because she's with Legal Shield. So, Jean, if you didn't have 30 minutes, then you're going to have to come up with a new acronym of maybe three things, you know. So maybe it's, you know, tax or car or I, or you just do 1, 2, 3. You don't all have to use acronyms for everything. I didn't use an acronym tonight. If you can, it always makes it more fun. But you could do 1, 2, 3. And you know, or the number one way, when I have 5 minutes to speak, then you've got one piece of meat. You've got one thing that you could share with them, one tip. Make it your best tip. All right, so it's just the number one tip. All right, anything else, Deirdre?
Well, the time was the other thing I was going to mention, too. I've mentioned on this call about the guy that went way over the time he had promised he was going to go, and I stopped listening to him, and there was no love there, that's for sure. So,
Only self-love, right?
Stick to the time, you know, that's respecting them and their time and just keeping to the time that you say. And like you've talked about, you know, you've said that before as well, you know, stick to the time that you're allotted and don't go over and don't go under. Stay right to the time you're supposed to. So they get all that they're supposed to get, but you're not keeping them longer than you're allowed to.
Right. Good tips. I hope you're all writing them down. All right, CJ.
Hello, hello. I was going to say smiling, so you took mine. No, but that's a good one. And I was also going to say eye contact as well. You said that too. And then I just wanted to reiterate, I have noticed RV using people's names. And even before we started working together and I really knew who she was, that was something that absolutely stood out in her talks. And I made note of that years and years ago because it absolutely makes people feel involved. And so I just want to echo those three things. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Thank you. And CJ, I bet you've got one of those faces that's always smiling. I mean, if you go to CJ's website, I mean, he's just a smiling guy. He's a happy, happy guy, and it shows, and it even comes out in your voice when you speak. Yeah. I can even see the smile right now. Don't you all see him smiling right now?
Yeah, you can hear it.
Yes, I was going to say that, too.
Oh, good, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. RV, did you see the picture I put?
No, the picture you put where?
You'll have to check the Passionately Speaking page. I found a picture of us, and I posted it.
Oh, perfect. Oh, I can't wait. So when we end our call, everybody go to the Passionately Speaking group on Facebook and comment. Let's all look at that, because it had to be years ago, right?
It was. Yeah, it had to be.
And I look the same or no?
Yep, exactly.
Oh, good. I can't wait to go see it. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Liz Smith. Liz is coming to the 4-day, which my 4-day is next weekend. So any of you know, I still have a couple of seats left if you want to really put your speaking on steroids and get personal coaching from me. Let me know, and we'll get you signed up. All right, Liz.
I was just many of the things have been mentioned already, but I was thinking it would be great to acknowledge audience participation, especially when they actually share the stage with you, come up impromptu and share the stage, acknowledge them for stepping out of their comfort zone, et cetera.
Yes, very good. Anything else?
In reference to eye contact and being with the audience, I always thought when before you start speaking, just really get a landscape of the audience and just look around the room and just be with the audience before speaking. Just really be with them.
Absolutely. I totally agree, and that's what I teach. Just like a couple, 3 seconds, just kind of get in there and just, I call it scan the audience, but I like I liked what you said too.
Did you say scan or scam?
Scan.
That comes with a close.
Okay, good.
And just a broad brush stroke of the audience and just look at them and then kind of be with them and then start speaking.
Yes.
You kind of, you connect.
Yes, I agree. Yes, you never want to, like, start speaking while you're walking up to the platform or any of that stuff. Just like Liz said, stop, breathe, look at them for a couple seconds, and then pow, they're a powerful attention grabber. You know, just bam. But you can't, like, if you're in motion and kind of shaking hands with a person and then doing it without 2 or 3 seconds in between, you're going to lose power. So thank you, Liz, for bringing that up. That's exactly absolutely true.
Thanks.
Good job. Good job. Okay, now we're going to go to Charlotte.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so the thing that stands out for me is that always make sure that when you're being introduced or if you're introducing yourself that you are your friendliest and sincere self.
Okay, sounds good. I hope if you're speaking, you're not in a position that you have to introduce yourself. Hopefully somebody's going to introduce you. Is that what you mean? Mm-hmm. Or do you mean networking or something?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, both in the networking specifically environment is what I was thinking of.
Oh, got it. Okay. Well, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? That's right, because if you're speaking at a networking event, you're going to be networking with the other members of that group. And it starts, your speech starts. I always tell people, your speech starts when you leave your driveway. And it doesn't end until you get back in. Because the worst case, what if you were to pull out of your driveway and then some car cut you off and now you've got this mean face because you're upset, right? And I mean, you know, we're human, right? I don't care if we're men and women of faith or not. We still are human. And so just think about this. So you cussed them out or whatever you do, and then they end up at the same event you are. And then you're sitting next to them. I know, right? It could happen. It could happen. Or what if, you know, you're pulling into the parking lot and someone took your parking place and you get upset, right? And then you walk in and there they are. There they are. Now, how do I know this? Because it's happened to me years ago. You know, it's like, really? I'm like embarrassed. So I always say, so when you're doing the smiling, the eye contact, the connecting, being real, being authentic, it doesn't happen when you just walk in that door of your speaking engagement. Treat it like as if the minute you get dressed up, you get your costume on, right? You are in performance all the entire way. You just smile and do peace signs all the way there when you're driving, no matter what happens. Okay, thanks, Charlotte. Anything else?
No, I think they've already been mentioned by everybody else.
Okay, good. Well, that's good. All right, so now we'll go to Leanne. Leanne will be in the training as well this coming weekend, so very cool. It's her second time through. All right.
Yeah,
Leanne.
I'm wondering if my dog is going to be hopping in there again going, are you seriously leaving me again? She invariably crawls into the car when I've got my suitcase. I know. Great big white German Shepherd looking over the front seat to the back.
Beautiful.
Hello, I'm ready. anyway, What I usually have a lot of people comment on is that they feel like I am truly listening to them, so I'm truly able to interact with them and answer their question if it's a short question. But something that I have also done, and I think I've heard it from you, but I was doing it before, when somebody is interrupting, oh, let me ask you a quick question. If I know I'm going to be answering that question later, it's like, that's a fabulous question. Hold on to it. I should be answering that for you a little bit further down the road. If I don't, ask it again.
Yeah. What
or if you
I
don't feel like I have answered it for you, ask it again.
Yeah. What I'd recommend there, because it you know, because that could be taken, you know, not so good, the opposite of love. So what I would do is this. I would do a short answer. You know, you could say, you know, I'm going to answer this in more detail in a few minutes, but I want to just give you an answer now, and then you give them a shorter version. You know, that way they feel like they've gotten satisfied, and you still say, thank you for it. So you might say something like, thank you so much for asking that. You know, I'm going to dive deep into that question in a few minutes, but I do want to just, you know, give you a quick short, you know, version now, blah, 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 blah. And then thank you again for asking it. Because then otherwise you're still cutting their nose off a little bit by saying, in a way almost saying that they're wrong for asking it at that time, like they asked it at the wrong time. We never want our audiences to feel like they're wrong. Now, are we going to be perfect as speakers? Absolutely not. We are going to make mistakes, and we are going to make faux pas. And we might offend somebody with something. You know, we might look like their ex-wife or their ex-husband, and, you know, and then they don't like us. So there's always going to be something anyway. But if you can just minimize and really control, those kind of things, then we try to do it. So I'm not trying to say you're going to be perfect. I say things on stage all the time that I probably shouldn't, you know. So, but I try to, the ones I do have control over, I try to, you know, really pay attention. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
So try that, Leanne. See if you can say it a different way. That's all. Okay. Anything else, Leanne? Leanne,
nope.
Anything else? Okay. All
no,
right,
I just put you back on mute, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, great. All right,
no
so
worries.
We're going to go to the second Jean in Iowa.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm going to make it short. I'm going to be going into a yoga class in a few minutes.
Ooh.
But I wanted to tell you, Arvi, I want to talk to you this week, so,
okay.
You know, talk about some dates and stuff.
Okay.
And, but what I'm sitting here thinking, and I've thought of a few of the same ones that have been mentioned, but I would just say what I've noticed in watching you is that you help people feel at ease, and that includes involvement with them, maybe calling somebody up to demonstrate with something, and then once they've done that, you know, give a round of applause for so-and-so. And the other thing is just laughter. I mean, I think that when I've seen you laugh or, you know, maybe even laugh at yourself a little bit, you know, and that puts people at ease and, you know, they're not intimidated.
Uh-huh.
So I think
well,
that's
great.
Love and honor.
Yes, thank you. Okay, anybody else have anything else they want to share? Okay, well, then we're going to end our call a little bit early today. Yay! And I just want to wish all of you a very happy Valentine's Day tomorrow. And I think it's Valentine's week, so we can celebrate it all week if we want to.
Yes.
Yes. All right. So, and Jean, I'll go ahead and email you a couple dates and times when we hang up. And then
okay.
Leanne and Liz, I'll see you on Thursday. Irene and Deirdre, I'll see you tomorrow at the networking event.
Yep.
Jean will be talking. Tuesday, I'll see you, Charlotte. So we're all connected. And CJ, I'm going to go on the Facebook group and see our picture. So that's
wonderful.
All right. So thank you again,
thank you,
all of you, for coming. And I'll see you next week. We'll have another good one. Now, remember to get out there and speak. And when you do, to always speak with passion. Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Welcome.
Happy
yes,
Valentine's
happy Valentine's
Day.
Day. Bye-bye.
Bye.